The Drive with Tyler Columbus and Dina.
By the way, if you were watching us on Twitch, you got quite a show during the commercial break.
Turns out people are watching because they noticed.
I know. You know what? I'm not even going to say what it was. You should watch us on Twitch. Even
though you know.
All week long, our look ahead to Kansas City and Tampa Bay is brought to you by Superbook Sports at the Lodge Casino, coming soon. This is Monday night. Normally, we would be doing our show. Tyler, we should be in Tampa Bay right now. And it was always awkward doing afternoons 2 hours ahead of time.
Yep, yep.
I very often it would be us, a station in San Francisco, and the guy from Hawaii with the ponytail and the macadamia nuts around his. he was always wearing some, I don't know what he was wearing. So we had to figure that out, but the media night should be going on basically right now. But you know what?
Wasn't it weird? First off, just backing up a second.
Yeah.
Wasn't it crazy not having football this weekend? To me, that hit me like crazy. Like, holy cow, that season flew by.
Well, we did have the Senior Bowl. You didn't get wrapped up in the Senior Bowl?
No, I was not watching the Senior Bowl.
Okay.
No.
NFL
did you watch the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, of course I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
All right, I taped it, and then I kind of went through it.
Okay, you watched the highlights.
All right. Yeah, the Pro Bowl was, I couldn't get in. I don't know what they were doing. The Pro Bowl celebration or something.
Oh, I literally have no clue. Weren't they playing like a Madden game or something?
Oh, was that it?
I thought so.
I don't know. I flipped over and they were running some highlight reel or something. I instantly lost interest. I don't know, man. I've been doing a lot more reading these days because, of course, I'd love to watch the Nuggets and Avs. I can't do that. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know.
Nothing wrong with some reading, D-Mac.
I'm doing some reading. My wife and I went out and worked out at Red Rocks, which was wicked cool on Saturday.
That's so cute.
It was cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Red Rocks is filled with weirdos on the weekend.
Ooh. I've done many a workouts at Red Rocks.
There are some interesting people there.
Now, what'd you do? Did you run the stairs?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah?
And I
did you run, like, the bleachers or the stairs?
I ran the stairs because I'm terrified of running the bleachers because I do not think I am coordinated enough. I've seen people run the bleachers.
My
legs are too short. I don't think I can do that.
Well, you probably got to get two steps in.
I know. Yeah exactly.
Yeah.
I've seen people do it the real way. Can you run the bleachers?
Oh, I've done it many times.
Oh, man.
Many times. It's a beast.
That's a long stride, dude.
Right.
They're doing actually some significant construction there. It's actually the first 15 rows are all shut down. They're definitely doing something to the roof, the top of Red Rocks. Anyways.
The difference between Lauren Landau and Rich Tootin, okay? Both took us to Red Rocks to work out, right?
Yeah.
Rich Tootin, how do you think he made us work out at Red Rocks?
Was there a boulder to be moved or some really stupid heavy lifting of some sort?
Start at the bottom, sprint all the way to the top, have no training for, like, actual, like, you're not gaining any resistance, you're not gaining any speed, you're not gaining agility, it's just go to the top.
No, kill yourself.
12 times, 15 times.
What?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm
serious.
From
where?
From the stage. You start at the stage, and you go all the way to the top, right?
Uh-huh, okay.
So just idiotic, just dumb.
15 times.
Dirt. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Now, Lauren would take us to Red Rocks, and he actually had a plan.
Yeah.
There was a reason for what we were doing, right?
Yeah.
And we would work on explosiveness, and we would run, like, the first 10, steps, right?
Yeah.
And then you're done. First 10 steps, you're done. There was a reason to what you're doing.
Well, that's kind of what I did. I would sprint up, like, 10 rows, then run across, run back down, Redmond. I did that like 6 times.
There you go.
Then I ran around and, you know, whatever.
That's a good workout.
It was great. It's great to be outside. That area is stunningly beautiful. There was a young lady, maybe 20 years old, with a hula hoop and a half shirt, even though it was like 35 degrees, who was hula hooping.
Probably standing right there in the middle of where everybody's trying to run.
She was right there.
There's usually some people doing yoga that you're trying to run around. You're like, you can't do yoga elsewhere. Yeah. I love yoga. I'm a huge yoga guy.
I know.
I love it.
No, there's people there that are like on stage performing.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's get to the question for Mount Palumbus Speak. This is an interesting one. I know that Aaron Rodgers only has 3 good years left, but don't you think the Packers would take the number 9 next year's first round pick for him? You're getting a better player than Matthew Stafford over the next 3 years, and he's got less miles on him than Matthew Stafford. I honestly think the Packers would take the deal.
Tell me, Strasburg. Tell me again the number 9 and what?
Number 9 in a first round next year.
Mount Columbus. Speak.
No, I don't. I don't. I do not think the Packers would take the number 9 and one more first rounder. Why? Why would they? First off, Aaron Rodgers is going nowhere. He's not going anywhere. That team is not going to move on from Aaron Rodgers. They've got an MVP player. Seriously, think about it. It's like the Rockies giving up on Nolan Arenado, except for they're actually good, right? Mm-hmm. They've got an MVP player that is on a contender right now. They're not moving on from him, and they already drafted their quarterback of the future. So, you know, like the number 9 selection doesn't mean a whole lot to them. If anything, they probably want a whole bunch of second rounders and a first rounder and whatever else. But regardless, I mean, point being, just cross Aaron Rodgers off the list of available quarterbacks. He's not going anywhere.
I think there was some frustration after they lost, and that's about it. Yeah. I think it got settled down very quickly. I think cooler heads prevailed.
I think things will stay a little bit tense out there until Aaron Rodgers gets a new deal. And then once he gets the new deal, it'll all be fine.
Then they should give him, okay, get it done. I don't know if you guys read the reports today. There is speculation out there. How about this? About Brady playing past 45.
You know.
Could you see that?
I can't. I think that he's proved what he needed to prove. And might play one more year after this just to kind of see it through a little bit. But, no, I think that it's just going to go away a little bit for him. Don't you think a huge part of this move down to Tampa Bay, of course he loves playing football. You don't keep playing
that
unless you do.
That dude loves playing football.
I get it, but a huge part of it was trying to establish his legacy.
Yeah.
That it was him. It wasn't the system. It wasn't the Patriots. It wasn't Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
It's him, right? And he's proven it.
Well, he'd be absolutely... On the surface, he'd be crazy to not play next year. You got your team to the Super Bowl. Why wouldn't you play next year? You're not injured.
I agree.
We saw these side-by-side pictures of Tom Brady. He looks younger now than he did when he went to his first Super Bowl.
I don't even know what his contract is down there. What is it?
I'm not sure.
2-year deal? Yeah, he'll play those 2 years and he's going to be done.
No, man. He said he wanted to play to 45. He turns... His birthday is right at the beginning of training camp. He'll be 44 next year at the beginning of training camp.
So he has to sign a new deal.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Aaron Rodgers could easily have another contract in him, though. Easily.
Yeah, he's 37. Tom Brady is going to be 44 next training camp. Aaron Rodgers is 37.
I mean, I'm not going to talk about 37 like that's some spring chicken over there. That's old. That's definitely old. I mean, Tom Brady's not going to be the norm. People are not going to be playing into their 40s. That's...
By the way, this tells you, too.
The human body is not built that way.
The conversation we're having, Deshaun Watson is 25.
I know.
Dude.
3-time Pro Bowler.
You know, 5 years ago, it was your media night in San Francisco. You were at the... I was not there because we were broadcasting in San Francisco and media night was in San Jose. And there was just no way for us to logistically get there because it's more than
an
hour away.
Why were you in San Francisco?
That's where the Radio Row was.
Really?
Yep. Radio Row was in downtown San Francisco.
Oh, what a terrible setup.
Dude, it was ridiculous. You got police escorts on the media buses, so, I mean, it wasn't that bad, but you still had to sit on a bus for an hour to get down to Santa Clara.
Crazy. So, I actually didn't know that.
Well, yeah. That's why you didn't see me. But it was a year ago or 5 years ago that the Broncos were the focus of attention, and we're celebrating this week with our Super Bowl 50 flashback. We'll have special guests all this week, including Chris Harris is going to join us sometime during this week. But when we come back, Evan Mathis will be our guest with our Super Bowl 50 flashback next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
In celebration of the five-year anniversary of the Broncos' third world championship, here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac with today's Super Bowl 50 flashback.
Super Bowl 50 is underway. Here comes Caldwell, the 10, inside the numbers, running to the 20, and picks up 18 on that kickoff return. Here we go.
We are joined by Evan Mathis, who is one of the most remarkable stories of the Broncos' Super Bowl year because of how unique his personal journey was. First of all, Evan, thank you for joining us, and your fellow offensive lineman, yeah, Tyler Palumbus, is here. Love it. I should let you guys say hello.
Evan, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Howdy, Tyler. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So we're doing a little bit of a Super Bowl reunion tour here this week, and I just thought that your story is really interesting. You know, we've got all the big plays, and we're going to go through some of the bigger moments of the game, but your individual story of that year was so unique, from arriving late, starting right away, to the hamstring issues and everything else. I mean, just take us through what that year was like a little bit for you.
I mean, it's hard to say a little bit. It was a roller coaster in many regards. From that off season, going from, you know, not having a team for a couple months to signing late in training camp, finding a really good fit, you know, on a contender. It was a few teams down there trying to make a move for me, and it boiled down to, so I wanted to go somewhere where there was a chance to win a ring, mm-hmm. and Denver obviously was that perfect fit. And then coming in there, learning the system as quick as possible, trying to get acclimated to altitude as fast as possible. I got some weird food poisoning in the first game, and I couldn't hold down water. And then I had a little string of injuries where I had like a slight hamstring tear, high ankle sprain, battled through a lot of that, and, you know, kind of got through most of it and was able to be pretty healthy for the playoff run. And just literally leave it all out there.
Evan, how much did you actually practice?
None.
that particular year.
I mean, I joined like the last week of training camp, and there was a lot of times when I did practice, but there was some injuries that I had where I was just really, you know, there wasn't much I could do, but pushed through it a lot. I don't know. I can't give you a number. I didn't miss that much practice.
Here's what you got to do. You got to describe what that hamstring would be like. Because I remember you would you'd get through the week and some weeks, but when you didn't practice, try to get that healed up, it was black and blue, start to go away. Then you go out to the game and just do it all over again. I mean, your hamstring was ridiculous that year.
Yeah, it was like an attachment of the hamstring at the very top of it. So like wherever that strain was, and effectively a strain of the tear. It would bleed, and the day or two after the game, like the entire, you know, it would run down the back of my leg. So my left hand, I didn't even put that hamstring. The entire hamstring was black and blue. I mean, it was pretty nasty looking. It looked like I got hit by a bus.
Yeah.
All right. So how did you play games so and play so well? What was that cycle like for you then?
There's a lot of, I mean, you have to be absolutely mentally relentless and be able to, I mean, just battle through a lot of emotions. And I mean, I was sacrificing my body, and I would change my technique for it. The main thing I would have to do to get through it was, there are things that aren't firing the right way. Then that completely changes, you know, what you have available technically. So if I'm usually firing off a hamstring or a leg that's now injured, I have to find a way to adjust that, and if I adjust one movement, then there's other variables that affects. But effectively, it was just trying to figure out, what can I do technically to dance around this? Mm. And that's pretty much what it boiled down to, finding new techniques.
All right, take us to the Super Bowl, man. What do you remember from the week that we got there early on, and maybe just some of the fun memories?
Hanging out with you a lot. We played a lot of cards.
Yep.
I remember the practices were going really smooth. Everybody was just absolutely locked in, zoned in. I remember the media days were pretty exciting. The energy was just high. It was, I mean, it was, a pretty unforgettable week. You know, it feels like it was, I mean, I can't believe it's been 5 years already, because it feels like it was just yesterday, and it's just, you know, it's ingrained in my mind, that entire experience. And I mean, being on the, you know, this, getting that lead, the defense just delivering, you know, us getting the ground game going, and then that feeling at the end, the clock's ticking down, and we did it, and, you know, everything that we sacrificed was worth it. You know, dreams come true.
Tell me the craziest interview you had at media night.
I was pretty stoked to do a Snoop Dogg interview.
There you go.
And I had my GoPro with me the entire time, and it was sitting there. You know, I'm sitting there, so I caught all this on camera. I have it stored away somewhere. But it was really fun to have Snoop Dogg come over there and do an interview.
What are your memories of Peyton Manning during that game?
During the game?
Yeah.
I mean, Peyton was Peyton. You're not going to get a different Peyton just because of the Super Bowl. You know, Peyton is, you know, he's commanding like he usually does. He's the same. That's what, you know, makes a great like him great, is that they are consistent, right? They're playing every game like it's the Super Bowl. And he was, at the end, we started chanting Peyton effing Manning in the huddle. And
yep, it was I only had about five plays, but I was in for that one.
Well, that's good. When did you know you had the Panthers? When did you know we got these guys?
I mean, you're never going to say that in a game. Like, you know, you know, it's play by play the whole time. I'm focused on winning my one play at a time. That's it. Everything else is a distraction. You know, and so when we're about to kneel the ball, you know, that's when we know we got them. But I mean, We had confidence the whole time. The whole week we leading up to it, we didn't think we were the underdogs or anything. We knew what we were there to do.
What was special about your offensive line?
It was a weird year.
I think it was a group of guys that wasn't really expected to, you know, to perform at a high level. And, you know, Clancy got us all on the same page. I think that it was a group of guys that was really good at communicating and figuring it out, putting it together. And we had a group, you know, it was a pretty good bond in the room overall, from the youngest to the oldest. You know, for a group that wasn't together super long, I think we bonded pretty quickly. That really helps with the cohesiveness and the chemistry forming quicker.
Well, man, it's been great to catch up with you here a little bit. Are you following the Broncos at all right now? I know you're living out of state and you've got a lot of things going on, but are you following the current team at all?
I have literally seen zero games of any football this year. I think I'm going to watch the Super Bowl.
All right.
Be the first one.
Wow.
Okay.
I've got one more for you. I got one more for you. It's been 5 years. 5 years since you guys won the Super Bowl. When you close your eyes and you think of the Super Bowl, what do you see?
Everything is everything. It's like the whole experience right there. It flashes in front of you. There's just so many highs. There's so many highs in that block of time. There's just so many key moments that, you know, it's not like one thing. There really isn't just like one thing. You know, I think one thing that replays over and over in my head a little bit is like the part at the very end where we're walking on the field at the end, right after we had won. But I think that's replaying in my head because I pulled out the GoPro again and started filming. So I've seen that a few times.
Love it. Love it. Well, that's Evan Mathis, my former Super Bowl 50 teammate. I guess we'll always be my teammate. We'll be seeing each other the rest of our lives at reunions. Dude, that was great. Thanks for checking in with us, bud.
Thanks for having me, guys. Y'all take care.
Man, that is so cool. Evan Mathis, as we celebrate the 5-year anniversary of the Broncos winning the Super Bowl on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Well, the deal got done for Matthew Stafford, but not with the Broncos. How close were they? Top 6 comes up next.